Hey, this is the Puerto Rican Rattlesnake, Luis J. Gomez from The Real Ass Podcast. Thanks for listening, but did you know that we do the show live every Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern? You can watch live, join the chat room, have access to the video version of the show, and access hundreds of hours of archives if you sign up for membership at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code RAP when you check out, and you'll save $1 on monthly network membership. We got a bunch of great shows on the network, including Legion of Skanks, The Just the Show, High Society Radio, SDR Show, and the brand new Tim Dillon Is Going to Hell. Once again, that's gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use promo code RAP when you check out. And best of all, you don't have to listen to this commercial.
This is The Real Ass Podcast. Here's your host, Luis J. Gomez.
Yo, what up, motherfuckers? It's your boy, Luis J. Gomez. Coming at you in full effect, in Technicolor, in Dolby Surround Sound. From the Gas Digital Studios here in the East Village with the international superstar, Zach D'Amico.
Good morning.
Can you do the... You do a pretty good wolf.
Thank you, buddy.
I like it. We'll start calling you the wolf. Wolf. And Chris Tinkle's running late. He'll be here in a few minutes. It's okay. You know, I only decided that I'm starting to pay you guys this month for this fucking show. And Tinkle says, you know what? First show of the month, let's just be running late for. Why not? So I'm docking. Do me a favor, Shannon. I need you to take a timestamp as to when Tinkle sits down at his mic and speaks.
Dollar a minute.
No. I'm just going to dock him. I'm going to, what do they call it? Prorating it? I'm going to prorate it, and I'm going to dock him his pay for this episode. I really mean that. I'm not lying about that. That is the Ralph Sutton Jew influence in my life. Okay? Welcome to the Real Ass Podcast. Very excited to have our guest in studio. I believe it is the first time on the show.
This is the first real ass time that first, I've been here.
It's very real ass, yeah. The show. It's different, yeah, than the other shows I did, Tim.
I'm excited. This Tim is my Dillon. First time in the snake pit.
Snake pit. Tim Dillon is here from Tim Dillon Is Going to Hell.
Great to be here. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you, pal.
To Zach and Miko. Yeah, we're going to get into that in just 1 second. Now, listen, cool. I do apologize. If you're watching live, we are having issues with the chat room. It will be fixed today. We know what's going on, so I do apologize. Don't start fucking tweeting me and going crazy.
Listen, until the chat room is fixed, just say faggot out the window.
Yeah, that's okay.
Just out the window and just write it down.
Yeah.
And then you can finally...
After like an hour, there's just like 100 gay dudes.
That was the original podcasting, by the way.
That was the original podcasting.
Colonial times.
So look, man, we got a great show planned today. Tim Dillon is here. Very excited to have you, my friend.
Yeah, thank you.
Last night was a big night. I think it was the opening night of the New York Comedy Festival.
Yeah,
correct.
Big night.
Across the board, lots of amazing shows. I wanted to get into that today. Tim Dillon had his own show up on top of a tour bus, and I definitely want to ask you about that because that sounds very interesting.
It was fun.
Zach D'Amico last night took home the Roastmasters Championship. Now, Tim.
Belt.
Tim, you... Alrighty, here's the thing, right?
Yeah.
In the notes I wrote, why does Tim Dillon hate roast battling?
Right.
Right? Now, you said something before, you're like, I don't hate roast battling. But
I don't hate it. Well, I'm not good. Number one, I'm not good at it.
You are good at it. I saw you do it, so you are good at it.
I'm not horrible at it, but I'm not good at it. Not like these guys. I am in awe of what these guys do. Here's what I find weird, and this is not hating it. The micro focus some people have on it, I've had people come up to me that are very good at this and go, I don't want to be a comedian, I just want to be a roaster.
That's ridiculous.
But that's, people have said that.
Yeah.
And then I go, what? So that where I'm like, I'm kind of, and I just make fun of like, I just make fun, because I think it's, in New York City right now, it's just like roast, 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 roast.
Yeah.
So it's like sometimes I'll put on Facebook like the underwater roast, or let's roast on acid, naked, you know? And I'm kind of having fun with it. If I was better at it, I would probably like it
if
more.
You
it's
cared,
like anything else.
If you cared about
it. I also hate running.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I'm not good at it. It's not like I get up every day and I'm like, man, I look great cutting through the park.
You've never gotten the roaster's high, as they say.
I've never. Yeah. I have the Kenny Rogers roasters.
There's just
high.
Nothing there. You get to that one moment where you're like, holy shit, I've reached.
Yeah, because you're good. Like when I watch Zach, I watch a lot of Zach's battles because he's phenomenal at it. JP is great at it. Patrick Christie. These people,
they're the best. The best of the best.
They're the best of the best, and I'm in awe of it. And I'm like,
can I say
great.
This though? Yeah. These guys didn't start off as being like. Actually, I mean, Zach was always a great roast writer, but if you look at the first time he battled compared to now, you become good at it. Chris Tinkle joins the show. What is the time stamp, Shannon?
Oh, whatever, dude.
What? Oh, wait. Well, you're just being docked for this episode now that you guys are being paid.
I mean, what
as
now?
Host, you're being docked eight
are
minutes for
paid?
This episode.
I haven't seen any money yet. So
well, this is the month you're getting paid. You're being docked 8 minutes on one episode. So.
Cool.
That's it.
I'm going to take 8 minutes out of zero. We'll do it.
No, it's not zero is what I'm saying, you fucking cocksucker. You're being paid. That's the point.
All right.
You actually owe Lewis $8 now.
Oh, are we getting paid $1 a minute? I don't think we are.
Nope. Nowhere near that. Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Are you crazy? Are you out of your fucking mind?
But these guys get good at it. That's the other thing. I have no gumption to get good at. Like, it's something that I just go, eh.
Yeah,
because I'm trying to get good at so many things.
Of course you are. Well, that's the other thing. It's like, but here's
and what I liked it. I don't do it because I liked it. I feel like everyone should because I'm not that good at it. I wish people would just stop doing things they're not that good at.
Yes, I agree.
You know what I mean? It's like just stop. I watch people sometimes doing stuff and I go, "What are you doing?" Like I'm okay. I could conceivably get through one, but when I see the level these guys are at, I'm like, oh, it's going to take me so long to get there. I'm never going to get there.
Right.
Let them do it.
Well, that's what it's stand-up or radio or any acting. Yeah. Dude, the first time I was in an acting class, I was like, no fucking way. There's no way I will ever be good at that.
Right.
And I was right, so I quit.
Right. Yeah, I was just about to say,
so
is this going to turn
five
around?
Five podcasts a week.
Where you're like, and now I'm great.
I put on some weight, and I don't really go out for auditions anymore.
Yeah.
So the lesson learned is guys don't even try.
I watched that. I thought the Berg Metzger thing was great. I watched it last night, and I thought the JP McDade Zach one was the
oh they were
favorite.
Fire, dude. Yeah. I mean, you and Chrissy, you did a second round that was unbelievable. I mean, Zach, you did a fucking great job, man, and it's a big deal. Can you announce anything yet?
I don't think so.
Shut the fuck up. You can. Everyone's just talking about it. It's not a secret.
Are you gonna?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do yours.
No, but it's a bigger deal for you. No. I have other stuff going on.
Yeah, I mean, but it's no guarantee that I'm gonna make it to air.
Who cares?
So here's the deal. They're filming Road to Roast Battle, the second season, on Monday for the New York Comedy Festival
at
the Village Underground. Zach Amico is gonna be on the TV show, which is
a
big
deal.
And
are you roasting somebody on Monday?
I don't know if you want to. Don't announce who you're roasting just because I don't know if they want to announce it. But he's roasting somebody on Monday for the. And so what he's saying, there's no guarantees, is it's like, they could technically edit you. You're not going to get edited out. I'm telling you, dude, Zach, you could fucking win the entire thing. You could do what Mike Lawrence did and just go be the unknown dude who
100%.
Won the whole thing. You're as good as Mike Lawrence at this. So, and also, just to really delve the announcement for Zach. I'm also doing the TV show Road to Roast Battle.
Wow.
And I'm battling the infamous fat shamer Karen Feehan.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, it's all happening.
I think that's going to be great.
Yeah. It's going to be pretty crazy. So
you guys don't have to leave the house. You can just like film it in bed.
Just give a porn video and just fucking let the judges have at it.
That's going to be great, though.
Yeah, it's going to be a really great time. So I'm very proud of Zach, man. It's a big deal. And look, I've been working really hard at comedy for, twice as long as Zach, and we're going to be making our Comedy Central
debut
at the
exact same
time.
When did the roasting start? Can you trace the beginning of the... Because that is interesting, because now it just feels like a part of life where, like, I don't even remember a time when there wasn't a roast battle happening or being talked about.
When did it start in L.A.? Like 4 years ago, 5 years ago?
Yeah, I believe so.
Something like that. I mean, the actual roast battle, I mean, that idea those guys had, a few years ago. And it kind of became a thing. But I think Jeff Ross and Brian Moses, I think they want it to kind of explode in every city.
Yeah.
Because every city's doing it now. Chicago's doing it now. I know there's one in, like, Denver. You see them all over the place.
New York and L.A. are the hubs.
Yeah. Look, to be honest, we're the New York show, okay? And with the roast battle TV show in New York... Literally everybody that's doing it comes through our show.
Yeah.
Every single person doing it. So don't get it twisted if people are trying to debate what is the fucking real deal show.
Right.
The one we do at The Stand is the real deal show. And all the people that fucking hate, there's a lot of people that hate on the roast battles, right? Yeah. And they go, it's like, oh, well, it's just stupid. It's just an excuse not to do comedy. It's like, first of all, you're sharpening.
No, I always admit, I'm not good at, here's the thing. There's, people aren't honest. So, like, I will always say, if I was good at it, I would like it more. Like, that is, if, but that's the ultimate honesty. It's like, if I had a natural affinity for it,
yeah.
Like, I'm good at riff. Some people hate riffing, but I could go on stage and, like, just say things.
Right.
And do crowd work.
Are you doing Jay's crowd work show?
Yeah.
Sick. It's a lot of fun.
It should be. I'm excited. But, yeah. Like, and that can inhibit me because it's like, oh, I don't have to. There's some guys that get on stage, they have to have 5 new jokes unless they're fucked. And it's like, sometimes I'd rather be that guy. But, like, there are some people that go, I hate crowd work. And it's like, well, you're not good at it. That's why you hate it.
Yeah.
So that's part
of it. Anything in the realm of comedy,
right.
With anything, broadcasting, stand-up, crowd work, whatever it is, right? The key factor is being comfortable.
Right.
And most of the time when you're not used to doing something, you're just a little uncomfortable. The first time I was on camera, I was really uncomfortable. The first time I did a podcast, if you can go find it. Go find, it was Nate Bargatze and Giannis Pappas and Chris Laker. They had a podcast called, yeah, Shannon, you should look
in
this
my
up.
Old
by the way, good job, Shannon. I see her immediately
Googling.
By the way,
Googling. Old apartment. It was in a fucking tenement building in Hell's Kitchen where I used to live with Justy Dodge and J.F. Harris.
Okay.
In that, there was a bathtub in the kitchen, right?
Yes, that was in that fucking apartment.
I lived in that fucking apartment.
That's crazy.
Dude. I lived in that
small
tiny little room.
Fucking world, dude.
It was crazy.
This is bananas, okay? So I did, it was, what's the name of the podcast, Shannon?
It Could Be Better.
Yes, It Could Be Better. I was on an episode and I was sick. It was the first time I had ever done a podcast. If you go listen to that, I sound like I'm borderline retarded. I'm just not comfortable talking with a microphone in front of me like that yet. So really, it's anything in the world. You guys are both fucking hilarious writers, Tinkle and Tim. You know, you guys, if you...
I'm just not going to... I don't know.
No,
you know,
if you wanted to...
I did Dan St. Germain's roast, and I bombed, and it was so painful and horrible. And I think
Is there video of that?
Probably.
Can we pull up Tim Dillon?
No, it's Patrick never released it. I told him not to release it.
Oh, that would have been great.
Don't release it. So,
but you should get that. You should put that on like your album as like a special track.
I don't think anyone will care.
If somebody's buying your album, listen.
Yeah,
to me.
They're gonna want
to
see me vomit a roast
if
battle.
Somebody
in 2000 and
is buying your album.
They want to watch a roast.
They
battle.
They fucking care about you. There's something about.
Yeah, but they don't want to see you bomb.
No, they do though. There's something about when somebody cares about
you. The Day the Laughter Died is one of my favorite albums.
Yeah,
yeah, that's the Dice album where he bombed, right?
So I never got good. Like I didn't, and it wasn't a thing back then. So back then, you would just go like, oh, that sucked.
What was weird back then when people were doing roasts, I remember when they did like the roast of DeRosa, the roast of Dan St. Germain, I was like, come on, guys, calm the fuck down. Right. How were you roasting people at the stand?
Yeah. But then from that was my first experience with it. I had done good on like other roasts, but that was the big high profile one at the stand. I had my first joke was great about Mike Racine. I said, because that guy, Elliot Roger, had just shot up, I forget what school, because he couldn't get pussy. And I was
wow,
like,
dude, that's how, like, how many tragedies we've experienced. I mean,
who knows?
That is,
right. It's a long time ago.
Wow.
And I said about Mike Racine, I'm like, this is like if Elliot Roger got pussy, but didn't change any of his ideas. You know, I was going to say that. And that killed. But then every subsequent joke just did less and less.
I would have guessed that Elliot Rogers is a baseball player.
Right.
Well, you could have told me.
I would have said children's TV host.
Okay. Yeah. But and what sucks is in a roast battle.
That's Mr. Rogers' real first name.
If you're bombing, you're just being mean.
Yeah.
So it just looks shitty. It's not like bombing in stand up. It's like you're bombing and it just looks shitty.
But I think people are also more educated now. It's like MMA. It's like people used to, when it used to hit the mat and they used to start grappling, people used to start booing because they didn't understand what was happening.
Right.
But now the average fan has become educated to the point where now when it hits the mat, people get excited. You'll hear a pop when people do transitions and they go from half guard to garter. But now people get what they're going for. So when people come to the Roastmaster show, people are like really pumped to fucking be there.
Yeah.
I think when we first started doing it a year ago, whatever it was, in New York, people are like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
People weren't killing. It was an awkward thing. Remember we did a couple where there was like 10 people in the crowd? You know how uncomfortable it is to do a roast battle in front of 10 people?
10 people.
Like, you had to dead, build like a dead Monday night 10-person audience?
Yeah, last night, me, audience. JP, Evan, and Christy are talking about when this like whole boom is gone. And it's just the four of us still trying to hold on to it.
Oh, it's awful.
Performing in front of like 8 people at like the standing room.
But you know what it is? It's an evolution in comedy. And this is what I'm noticing because there's Comedy KO. And there's going to be another couple shows that pop up that are
that are kind of born out of this roast battle-y type
insult
of...
Insult-based.
Yes.
Sure.
So that's the thing. That's like, there's going to be these things, and there's going to be an evolution where the next kind of...
I think there's a hunger for mean. You know, we live in this weird wishy-washy, PC, huggy... That's why I think why people kind of like...
You can say faggoty. How are you not taking advantage?
Oh, no. I mean, it's somewhat faggoty, but even... I think it's even worse. Like, I mean, even... I think we're softer than... When I would call somebody a faggot, it would be for like... going tanning, but I think this is even worse. Like, this is literally, we're creating,
well, it's also like, it's a weird
people.
Self-congratulatory, pat myself on the back for being weak.
Right, and that's what people kind of like.
That's what's crazy. You know, it's like, people used to, if you're going to be a little bitch, at least be embarrassed about it behind closed doors, right? Now, you're a little bitch, beta males are out there posting about being beta males and going like, hey, look at me.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
But there's a hunger, I think, for the other side of that. There's a hunger for the anti, not so much like anti-PC or
It's waves, it's trends. It's like fucking
the idea of like, hey, fuck you.
It's like fashion, dude. Yeah. It really is. Like, and there's trends in comedy, and I think we are now coming back to that tough crowd, fucking Jim Norton, Bobby Kelly, Patrice O'Neill spitting. Like, people love that. Dude, we do jokes at these roasts where people push the fucking limit, and it's amazing, right? Because in regular comedy, it's all under a microscope, so we can't fucking say shit. But we go into this other format where the idea is to take it as far as possible, and nobody gives a shit if you're doing a fucking nigger joke. Nobody cares if you're saying faggot. Nobody cares about any of that stuff, because in this world, I actually compare Legion of Skanks podcast to that, because we've never gotten any shit on Legion of Skanks podcast, and we bill it as the most offensive podcast on earth.
Right.
And I think I compared it to the movie The Aristocrats.
Sure.
You know, it's like within the realm of that movie, you can talk about a baby being fucked to death, or within the realm of that joke. You ever see The Aristocrats?
Yeah.
So within the realm of that joke, you can talk about fucking babies to death and playing with their guts and fucking vomiting in your sister's mouth. Nobody gives a shit. You know what I'm saying? You can't say that.
And then Lewis gets a call from B the next morning that he's in trouble. Yeah. We talked about this.
But I think that's why the roasts are kind of cool. And that's what also what's very attractive as a comedian. I want to be able to push the limits and kind of have fun within that world and kind of paint with any color. And the roasts are enabling young comics who are the most oppressed, the young comics, because Nick DiPaolo doesn't give a fuck. He's got his audience. He's going out on the road. Bobby Kelly doesn't give a fuck. Right. But these young generation of comics are being pussy whipped. And now I feel like there's an actual outlet for people to say some fucked up shit, which is where the funniest shit comes from.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Tinkley, you just won't do the roast battles.
I'll probably do one.
You gotta do it, dude. It's crazy. Everyone who hates on it and goes, oh, dude, doesn't do anything for you.
Who really hates on it? There's a lot of people
hating
on it.
There's been a lot of people that have publicly come out and been like, oh, it's there's no point in doing them. It's just fucking, it's pointless. Oh, I gotta do a roast battle to get looked at by the stand. Let me tell you something about this, okay? If you're doing the Roastmasters and you're not in at the stand, it is a way to get the booker of the stand to fucking love you.
Yeah, but see, that's a false thing, because a lot of the people that are kill at roast battles don't work the stand a lot.
No, they don't. But what'll happen is you get a credit.
Right, but all those people that are complaining, like, oh, I would be working there if I just did roast battle.
If I would insult my friend kind
of
thing.
It's just, it's full of shit.
Most people that do the Roastmasters don't work the club.
And I'm the only roast thing I did at the stand, I bombed horribly, and Patch accuses me. So I don't think that
what it is here, the upside of it is this. There's really no downside, right? The upside is the booker of the club this is his favorite show. He's there every single week. The booker of the club watches you every single week and fucking falls in love with you and then wants to give you an opportunity. This business is about, and any business, fuck that, dude. If you work at a fucking gym, if you work at a supermarket, okay, you want to get the people that are above you in this business to like you and help you the fuck out.
Yeah.
So it's a damn near guaranteed way to impress him and to show him that you're fucking funny in there and in the moment. And then if you get a credit or if you get anything going on, I'm telling you right now, he's going to end up taking care of you.
Yeah.
You getting on this TV show is only going to help you. You being the champion of this this tournament, it's only going to help you. Where's the downside?
The way I look at it is I think we're like his farm team, basically.
Yeah.
Like, we're his next generation of people that he's helping.
Zach's a cow.
Yeah. I don't understand. I think I make I talk a lot of shit about the UCB, which is awkward because a lot of the people that work there are friends of mine or follow me on Twitter and stuff, and I say
what's your problem with UCB?
there's like a lot of rich kids jumping around. I always find, like, you walk into an improv show and it's like guys in their mid to late 30s, you like doing leapfrog. I'm like, what is, hey.
It's like when people play.
I did a show the other night at UCB. There's three comedians sitting. I thought we were just doing sets. There's three comedians sitting there, and there are two people, and they're like, we're all going to do impressions. And I'm like, I don't know how to do them. And they're like, but it'll be fun how bad
they are.
And I'm like,
an impression.
Of what?
Do something.
Of a cigarette?
No.
I played an ashtray in a fucking.
That was really funny.
It was, but that's what I can do.
I bet you would do a really good Ursula.
Sure. Big Ange. Great Big Ange.
Who's
the late Big Ange.
Who's the guy from Mrs. Doubtfire, the gay
Harvey
brother?
Harvey Fierstein.
Yeah.
There's like three that I can do.
Do Harvey Fierstein.
Hello.
Close your eyes, guy. We're interviewing Harvey. Harvey, very happy to have you here on the Real Ass Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Lewis. I'm a huge fan. I'm a skank.
That's really cool of you to say, man. So how did you end up being a fan of mine? I was interviewing him about being a fan of mine.
Well, you know, Legion of Skanks is branding for me, Mr. Fierstein. So how did you, you know? But no, it's weird. Like, it's the same thing. It's like people, sometimes you can't just do, like, my manager goes, just go out for SNL. I said, what? I don't know how to do anything. I don't know how to do that. He's like,
it doesn't
I don't
matter.
Do impressions. He goes like this. He goes, you could do Adele and Chris Christie, Rush Limbaugh. I see you're just naming fat people.
Yeah.
I was like, you're just naming fat people.
But to be honest,
people.
I mean, hold on. Could Tracy Morgan actually do anybody? No.
I don't know. But
and
you
I mean,
know,
this is like,
yeah.
I know that they have guys now on it that, you know, that don't do impressions either. But yeah. I mean, even some of the great ones didn't really do great impressions.
But they're like, so we're at this UCB show and they're like, it'll be funny. I bad the impressions on. I'm like, no, it won't. Why is this fun? Why is there an audience here? It's insulting to a fucking audience.
Yeah.
And then you look around at UCB and you go, oh, these people, this is their social life. How fucking sad.
It's the same thing.
That's
the difference
about the people
is
on the stage. It's like this is their
it's built within like improv to kind of like that whole in stand up comedy when somebody wants to do a fucking stand up class, we all scoff at it and we go, who fucking does a stand up class? You can't learn how to be funny, right?
Right.
With improv and acting and that whole world, there's an entire infrastructure at the base level where that's it. That's the barrier of entry is you have to go and pay for some fucking classes.
Sure.
But that's also to keep the people that aren't that good at it employed.
Yeah.
That's for the people that don't make it to have a safety net
Absolutely.
That they can teach it and make money.
That's what we call the subprime stand-up economy.
But we look at that. Nobody really looks down at like UCB. Stand-ups do. But in that world, we're the only people in the world who kind of look down
at it. But my
whole
point is like I talk shit about that, but there's a ton of talent there. So I think you can make fun of something and still respect it. You know, but I think maybe some of the people that don't like the roast battle are just bitter. Their careers aren't happening in the way they want. And somehow
I'm not going to name names, but there's one guy in particular who's good at it, who's done the roast, who's actually good at it.
Yeah.
And I came back to him and I was like, dude, do it again. I was like, you're really good, dude. I was like, you should come back and do it. And he was like, no. He's like, dude, they don't work me. I'm not going to fucking go and do the roast. So, and this is a guy who, I mean, I almost want to whisper it in your ear. I want you to know who I'm talking about.
Just mouth it.
Lewis is whispering.
Okay.
So it's a guy who's not working anywhere. It's a guy who's
but that's
not-
a guy where it's like that 10 years ago was that was you know what I mean? Like there's a certain amount of time you spend in comedy where it's like, you know, there's a certain amount of time in comedy where it's like if you've watched everyone
you
know
that thing around and it says my name on it, I'm gonna fucking break something. I was already like, I know he fucking whispered my name to Tim. I know it, dude.
No, it doesn't. But it's like I feel like
it just says fucking Tinkle in bold 18 point font. Oh, yeah.
He's a nice guy, but
I mean,
sometimes you just tired.
I would
describe
him as East Coast Tinkle.
Sometimes you're tired. Lord,
I'm kidding.
Really?
I'm kidding. No, but I'm just saying, like, a guy like that where I'm like, dude,
you got
nothing going on.
To lose.
He's been doing, I've been doing comedy for 12 years.
Right.
He's been doing comedy for minimum 15 years.
But that's what I mean. Maybe he's tired. Like, I feel like he's like,
do
what
it.
Am I gonna try
what
this?
The fuck else do you have going on? What is the, I mean, you're also, I can understand if you're fucking horrific at it and you're just not like, you're not, like Dave Smith. It's not that Dave Smith is horrific at it.
Right.
He just cannot write a joke like that.
Right.
He can't. Dave Smith can't do anything less than like a 4 or 5 minute bit, even in a stand up. You know what I'm saying? So he really struggles to kind of come up with these punny type of fucking things. He's kind of risking something. He because he's got other shit going on. So he's going to get beat by some fucking open micer. And Tim, you're fucking distracting the show.
Sorry, no, I apologize.
I don't want to hear about your fucking industry horseshit.
No,
your fucking
I'm sorry.
Agent.
It was
Hillary's fucking hitting me up. She got an audition for
First
me.
First of all, let me tell you right now.
What happened?
Oh, I just don't want to. First of all,
she's listening. No, you know she's listening.
Is she listening?
Sure she listens.
You think so?
Hill Dog? Are you kidding me?
Forget it. All right.
Hill Dog.
I had a great story.
Hill Dog.
I love how much of a lesbian bartender you were. Let me tell you something real quick, honey.
As I slide like a beer across the bar, let me tell you right now.
This one
drops some knowledge.
Hill Dog, she told me she listens to our podcast.
Great.
She loves you, so I'm sure she'll fucking. It's a double whammy. She's probably fucking rubbing her big fat clit to this episode right now.
Nothing but positive.
How big do you think Hillary's clit is?
I mean, it's not small.
I bet you she's got her own hat and shoe collection for it. I just know she's listening.
It looks like the guy from Assassin's Creed.
He's got a sword. Oh, shit. All right, so congratulations to Zach and Miko. Tim, so last night you did your comedy festival show.
Yeah.
I like this dude. Here's the thing. Tim, and I love Tim. Everyone knows, if there's, everyone's on the fucking Tim Dillon bandwagon, right?
Well, I wouldn't say that.
I think I jumped on a little late, but that's okay.
That's fine.
Okay, but I think I was one of the first people that mattered to care about you.
I agree.
Okay. And I think you're fucking great. And I asked you to be a part of this network a few months ago. I think your podcast is phenomenal. Yeah. It's blowing up.
Yeah.
I asked Tim, I was like, dude, you're doing this fucking tour, this bus show. This is amazing, dude.
Yeah.
I was like, please get me and Ralph a set of tickets. I would love to come and watch this show. Because I'm a fan.
Right.
I'm a fan, and at this point I consider us friends.
Right, absolutely.
Tim Dillon looked me straight in the face and said, there's no way, dude. There's no way I'm fucking getting
you
tickets.
Well, first of all, nothing would make me happier than having you, Ralph, and a nameless Ukrainian whore on the. nothing would make me happier than Olga, you, and Ralph, a mind control victim. on the bus. But so here's the thing. Last night, so we did this the tour bus thing, and it's just basically, I'm going to yell at you for an hour on the top of a tour bus. I'm going to point out buildings. We're going to talk about rich people. And
sorry, Shannon, turn on the air conditioning.
It's fucking, it's crazy. I'm dying
hot here. It's bananas. We have, I mean,
it's so hot.
There's an extra 200 pounds of fat in this room right now. Okay.
I never complain about the heat as a fat person because everyone's going to be like, yeah, well, of course. So I'm wait till somebody else.
It's crazy, dude. Like, I'm like wiping sweat out of my eyes.
It's horrific.
It's brutal.
It smells like a blimpy sandwich in here.
Yeah, it does. I love a blimpy sandwich.
That's the best way to describe this podcast.
So that was my job. I was a tour guide, and I said, let me just do a fucking weird tour, like a show on a tour bus. It'd be a lot of fun.
So you were a double-decker tour bus. Used to do this as an actual job.
This was my job. So you got like 51 seats on the top of the bus.
Right.
And then seats on the
bottom.
And
how many people are on the bottom?
Nobody, because you want everyone to be – well, here's the thing. Everybody wants to be on top to fucking see everything.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's also the rule in the gay community as well.
Yes. So Hillary,
a lot of similarities here.
Hillary's job, you know, basically is to find out the capacity of the bus and make sure that, like...
Hold on, I think people should also know, because I think we're just saying Hillary.
She's an
agent. We're also in the middle of the biggest election in history.
Yeah, not Hillary, Hillary Clinton was helping me with my tour bus show...
But it was a little confusing when we just throw the word Hillary
out. Of course it was.
Yeah.
So she's an agent, she's great, and she handles people's live performances... So
not mine. She passed on me after Montreal. But anyway,
right? It's the the top fills up, and there's still like 10 people on the street, and I'm like, wait a minute, how did this happen? Like nobody's supposed to sit downstairs, and she looks at me, she goes, we're not going to talk about it now, and I'm like, okay, but there's like 10 people that have paid fucking $32 a ticket that are now going to have to sit fucking downstairs and see nothing. Like you don't see much.
Yeah,
you know?
You just hear like on a shitty.
Right,
like speaker. It's not even a good sound system.
It's fucking horrible. So she says...
You're just going to hear Tim stomping upstairs.
Yeah. So in front of the paying customer, she goes like this. She goes, in front of them. She says to me, she goes, hey, Chris Gethard and Sal Vulcano were upstairs. I mean, they're comps, but I think we should leave them up there and, you know, just make these paid people sit downstairs. In front of the paying people!
You gave Chris Gethard and Sal Vulcano comps.
They got comps.
Are you out of your fucking mind?
They got comps.
You don't even have the wherewithal to go, maybe let me not tell a story where I'm talking about other people.
They got comps before you asked. They asked
impossible.
Very early.
Impossible,
it's not impossible,
Tim. Tim, it's impossible.
It's not impossible.
Tim, it's impossible. I asked the second I heard about the show.
It's not impossible.
Before
the second you heard about the show was way after they had heard about the show.
Tim.
Yes, it is.
Tim.
You're a fucking liar.
I'm not a liar. First of all, they both have TV shows, so I would have to give them props.
Can I explain you something? First of all, Gethard's is a TV show.
But he's with Mike Berkowitz. He's touring around the country. Let's be honest.
And he might kill himself very soon.
Let's be honest. And Salva Cat out there packing Radio City. Come on. So let's, you know,
I asked you when there was one bus, not three buses, Tim. Do you remember when there was one bus?
That is a good point. You can come on the third night. You want to sit downstairs? It's great.
You're a piece of shit.
It's good. Downstairs is even better because it's warm. It's enclosed. Upstairs is weird because it's like wind in your face.
You just spent 12 minutes describing how downstairs is pointless,
Tim. It's preferable. So the thing is, everyone's sitting downstairs in this hell, and your fat Hillary is like telling... So Peppa Pig is telling people, I'm kidding, I've lost my agent, I don't care. So she's telling people, leave Vulcano and Gethard up there. And people start to get mad. People start to go, hey, I paid money.
Who the fuck is Chris Gethard?
Right, so that's what I mean. So people are now mad at me, and it reminds me of my old fucking job where they would be mad at me for shit like this because there were not enough seats. And I'm like, this shouldn't be happening.
Yeah, this isn't on you at this point. Somebody else in the chain.
But it was fine. It worked out well. Everybody liked it.
Those people were downstairs.
They were downstairs. A few of them. We ended up squeezing people in. I didn't see
it.
Do
you know the list of people that were downstairs?
It was like three or four of them.
No, but you know, I'm saying, do you have like emails and shit?
Yeah, now I got to go back to them and apologize. Hillary goes like this to them. She goes like this. She goes, we have no problem processing a refund. I'm like, hey. Can you not talk to these people like?
Yeah, you gotta have a little. What I would do is I would say, hey, first of all, we're gonna give you guys a refund. Second of all, Tim's gonna be at the stand five times in the next month. We'll give you comp tickets for you and your friends to come out. Make that fucking.
But
right.
This
is why I'm a fucking genius. And this is why everyone else is just falling.
I will give you. I think we have tickets available in the third one up top. So I'm gonna let you know. I'm dead serious.
It's funny.
I'm serious.
It's so funny. Like, just a snake in the grass. Tim Dillon.
Do you think Big J would want to go tonight? I'm kidding. I'm joking. That's a joke.
He's a snake in the grass.
That's why you like me.
Excited to ride a bus.
So you used to do this as the job.
This is my job.
How long ago was when you did this?
About 8-9 months ago.
Okay, so this is very recent, Tim.
It's under a year I've been making a living with stand-up.
That's amazing. Good for you.
I mean, we'll
see. That's a very big deal. I'm gonna tell you right now. Yeah. It's a hard... It's a hard path, and it took me a lot longer than that to make a living with stand-up, so good for you, buddy.
Yeah. Well, but I've been working, I worked as a tour guide, like, on and off for 2 or 3 years.
So, all right, so you were a tour guide, and how, I always thought I'd be pretty good at that job.
You'd be good at it. You'd be very good at it.
When they hire you, do you need to show them you have some sort of experience?
You take a test.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you get a license.
An AIDS test. They were like,
you take an AIDS test. You get a license, and then they give you a sheet of paper. Of stuff to say.
Like, what are the things that they ask you for the test? Because I want to know if I could have made this. Do you need to have actually some sort of real knowledge or just a savvy New Yorker would be able to pass this test?
No, not a savvy New Yorker. What is a savvy New Yorker? What question are they going to ask
Shannon,
a savvy
look
New
up,
Yorker?
Look up
what
the test.
What animal is in the bodega to eat the rat?
No, what would I ask? Okay, all right. What would I ask?
What building on Fifth Avenue did Jackie Kennedy live in? When she moved to New York after her husband died?
The Tiffany's.
Correct.
She had breakfast there every morning. It was
shit like that. When was Grand Central built? Who built it?
1912.
1871.
If you look to your left, you'll see an excellent stairwell to smoke weed in. That would be Lewis's entire tour.
Stairwells that you can smoke weed in.
And if you want to finger a sleeping girl, I suggest the bathrooms at Stand Up New York Comedy Club.
Yeah.
Is there an online application with the test, Shannon? Oh, Shannon, hold on. Time out. Before we even get into this.
You'd be great at the ticket sales. It's all Haitians.
Where are our cupcakes?
In the fridge.
Oh, my God. Really? Are there cupcakes?
Should we have a segment on the show where Shannon has to bake us cupcakes every week?
Is this true?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Shannon,
do you have a
drop?
No, I don't have a drop. And Tim, I'm not going to start doing this for your show, too.
No, I don't want you to do it for my... We're talking about pedophiles, Shannon. We can't have cupcakes.
You can do whatever you want with these producers. I'm telling you right now.
Pedophile-themed cupcakes.
Shannon, do me a favor.
Aren't all cupcakes pedophile-themed?
That's a very good point.
Go grab our cupcakes, Shannon. Thank
you. I was eating healthy for like 3 days. I was eating no sugar. I got so anxious and depressed. I had no idea...
You gotta start doing blow.
...how much sugar made me happy. Like, I thought I was happy because like sets would go well. That's not it at all. We don't have sugar.
It's not.
That was it.
The sugar doesn't make you happy, Tim.
Yes, it does.
It's a temporary fix. You get a spike in insulin. Hold on.
It's great.
Spike in insulin.
Yeah.
But then you drop and you feel like shit again and you go like, oh, I need it. So just like a drug, you wouldn't need that spike in insulin
again. I know, but you take it all away. It's bad.
Within 4 or 5 days, it's like cigarette smoking. Did you smoke cigarettes for years?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, same thing. Remember the first 4 or 5 days it blew? And then after a week.
I still want a cigarette.
So do I. You're going to still want a donut.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay.
You're going to always want a donut, dude.
Yeah.
Justin Silver gave me that advice long ago. And I'm a fat fuck right now, so I should practice what I preach. Yeah. But he was like, you either want to fucking be in shape and live for a long time, or you want to eat donuts. You can only choose one.
It's based on his experience with bulldogs. It's great. I definitely want advice from someone who spent more time speaking to
Shannon. You didn't make them.
Shannon, massive fail.
Grimy whore.
Massive fail. Shannon, and vanilla.
Time out.
Vanilla.
Time the fuck out. One second.
Shannon, good for you.
No, Tinkle. Tinkle.
No, it's awesome. She shouldn't have to. Well, come on.
No, Tinkle. This is ridiculous. Tim is going to fucking put them in his nose.
Okay, so here's the thing. I'm not going to do this every week.
Shannon, you're not going to tell me what you're going to do every week.
Wait, hold on.
I am the fucking boss here. In what world? She made delicious fucking homemade.
As a nice thing for Zach's birthday.
Yeah, and you decided to introduce it as a segment, Shannon. And we told you in the beginning of this, after 8 weeks, we're going to pick one of the segments. It's not my fault that every other segment was horseshit compared to the cupcake segment.
What kind of cupcakes were they last week?
They were
peanut butter and chocolate.
Jesus Christ.
They were unbelievable.
Jesus fucking Christ.
From scratch. Yeah, she made the frosting from scratch. It was, they were delicious, Tim. Unbelievable. And you felt the love in them.
Okay, one thing though. So you said
I shit in them. These faggots. She just walks out, gives them the middle finger. She shows her tits and shits on the floor. Adios, cocksuckers.
Oh, man.
I'm fucking out.
Shit. Maddie Jester Skulls comes out of the closet.
What, Chad? What were you going to fucking say with your laziness today? Insubordination. It's making me furious.
Okay, so I was going to make them this week for Zach. As congratulations.
He's a champion.
Right. But
I didn't win till midnight last night, you lying whore.
Okay, I was going to make them today. But I had to pre-record a show. I won't name names. I had to pre-record a show.
My show. It's true. My show. We had to pre-record yesterday because of the New York Comedy Festival show.
Right, okay.
And so it blocked out my entire day, so I didn't have a chance to bake them.
Shannon, can I explain to you something? I'm going to be honest with you.
Sure.
Okay. Me and my son, who's 3.5 years old.
Yes.
Okay. I've baked things in my life.
Yeah.
4 times, maybe. Okay. 4 times in my entire life. My son is 3.5. He's never baked anything. He's a baby. Okay. Yes. He doesn't know how to bake. We're both very inexperienced when it comes to the culinary arts. We made Halloween cupcakes.
They look great.
In 25 minutes flat. We decorated them. We fucking took our tinkle. Don't you leave. Don't you leave.
What? I love cupcakes.
Doc, get the timer going. However long he's off mic for, we're docking him more pay. It's ridiculous.
Where are those Halloween cupcakes?
They're at home. I should have brought them. I should have just brought them because, you know what it is? Tim, when you want something
I love a themed pastry.
When you want something done right, you have to do it yourself.
Absolutely.
And I should have known that Shannon was going to come in with not even good bought cupcakes.
This is an insult because vanilla on vanilla is like such a fucking fuck you.
But can
it's $3.19 for
that's such a great
24 cupcakes.
$3.19.
Can I explain to you how bad these cupcakes are?
And listen, the name of them are original 2-bite original. 2 bites. You get one cupcake, 2 bites.
What's the mini baked by Melissa?
They suck too.
Yeah, these are fucking
baked by Melissa is like $300 for like, you know.
These
like,
are knockoff
40 cupcakes. I would eat in 5 minutes.
Can I get credit for bringing them? I stopped at a store on my way. I left
Shannon,
early.
You know, Shannon, listen. Shannon. I'm not going to give you credit for half-assing it.
But I did. I didn't just come in with nothing.
No.
Nothing would have been.
I would have fucking
far better
fired you. Yeah. If you would have came in here with nothing, I would have literally been on that control panel myself producing this show.
Can we do that one day?
Are you trying to challenge me? Like I wouldn't know how to do that?
I'll be the host and you be the producer.
100%, Shannon.
All right.
And by the way,
Lewis has to learn how to Google and Shannon screams the N-word for an hour and a half.
I'm going to have only one more.
Oh, my God. How hot would it be to watch Shannon just scream the N-word?
Zach, do you want one?
No, I'm good. Thank you, though.
Shannon, Will you say the N-word for Zach?
No.
Okay.
The N-word.
Smart woman. Smart woman right there. Tinkle, you want a cupcake?
No, thank you.
Have one.
I'm not having one. I'm doing Comedy Central Monday, so I can't fucking...
After all that, you're not going to even have one.
Are you crazy? I'm doing Comedy Central
on
Monday.
Do you want me to make them for no reason?
Do you know how little they want fat people on Comedy Central? Unless you're jolly fat, you know? And then they literally choose one person every three or
one
four
guy.
Years. Yeah, one and that's guy. It. Yeah. And I'm not that guy. I'm not the... I don't look good fat, you know?
You're Hispanic.
Yeah, I'm the Hispanic guy.
Yeah.
I need to wear fucking form-fitting pants.
You gotta be, they have, I mean, it's Gabriel Iglesias. You gotta be that fat.
I need to look like
jolly
I
jolly and Hispanic, dance. You have to literally be a fucking waterbed with feet. And you gotta come out and be like, eh! You don't even have to say words. You just gotta go, eh! And then that'll be fun.
So, Shannon, did we figure out an online test for this? Because I want to...
It's tough.
I want to... Those
there
are tough
flash
questions.
Cards. They're questions.
Those are tough questions.
They're going to be hard.
What would I ask?
When was... This is a question. Here's a question. How many bridges are free? Free bridges.
Do I get to like count on my hands in the middle of the test?
Yeah, dude.
Okay. So free is the Brooklyn Bridge.
Correct.
The Manhattan Bridge.
Correct.
59th Street Bridge.
Correct.
That's it. Three.
Correct.
Boom. Done. I'm a tour guide.
There you go.
I passed.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
All right, now ask him about a thing that costs money.
Yeah. One of the questions, which is weird, is define consent, and which I thought was weird, but no.
Consent is whatever it really means to you.
Consent's very personal, like art.
Yeah.
But no, what's funny is you learn
consent
all these...
is very objective.
You learn all these fucking...
We all learn, dude. If she says yes, but she's thinking no at the very last second, you're in big trouble.
You learn all these fucking things about New York City. Nobody gives a shit. They just get on the tour bus and they ask where the bathrooms are and where fucking bubblegum shrimp is.
I mean,
that's
also
it.
Like, nobody wants to know where Jackie Onassis lived.
Nobody wants to know anything.
You
want to
do a cool tour, and I'm sure
people
have these...
People
want
to just eat and die.
They want... I'm sure they have, like, a fucking rock and roll tour where you go past the Chelsea Hotel and be like,
but that shit's all done now, so you can't... It's like they have that, but it's so sad. It's like, this was, you know, it's like, this was where Bob Dylan played. Now it's a Jamba Juice. Like,
it's just two homosexual guys blowing each other.
And not even that. It's of Zara. Like, there's nothing left. It's just a clothing store, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
this high-end boutique is CBGB's.
Yeah, it's
awesome.
Just, right. Look at that Potbelly, you know?
Like, I mean, how was it that nobody in the world, no fucking multi-billionaire or millionaire, was just like, I'm just going to fucking save CBGB's.
You don't give a shit.
But I'm surprised.
You're a multi-millionaire, billionaire, you give a fuck.
I'm surprised there's nobody out there cared enough.
No.
I'm a musician. I mean, think about how many people came out of that place. I'm surprised there isn't just...
When you have that much money, you don't think emotionally. You don't go, oh, I had a great time there when I was 19. That's
fucking
not the way you think.
It doesn't even matter if they even play there. Like Bono, right? How much money does Bono give away to shit, right?
Yeah.
What, he gives away to charities? All the time and tries to help children in the world.
AIDS, right.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's crazy.
There's no cure for AIDS, Bono. You're literally...
Yeah, but think about who...
You might as well just burn your fucking money if you're throwing it towards AIDS research.
Like, they keep CBGB so fucking Justin Bieber could do his show. Like, what the fuck would be the point?
No, young punk rock band, dude. It's almost like the
same... But that's dead. That whole scene's kind of dead.
Yeah, libraries are dead. Libraries are dead, Tim. But they have fucking public funding to keep them alive because there's something cultural there and there's something...
Who's going to the punk shows? The kids who work in online advertising for live in Bushwick and fucking mannequin drone.
You don't think
people?
That there's like garage rock bands anymore?
There are, but it's not going to justify the amount of money it would take to keep CBGBs open.
No, now all those bands play house shows or loft shows.
Yeah, dude, it's fucking... It's just over. I mean, New York is just not a cool city. It's
what would you?
A good
where
city.
Would you tell somebody to go if you had a family member or friend visiting from out of town, right? They got one afternoon. What are you telling them to do?
I tell them uptown always by the park, all that rich shit, because that's the shit that's never changed. So to me, that's where I did the tour, because like I'm showing you a mansion that's been there since 1908 or since 1884. That has never changed. And there's something about society that's never changed.
How prepared?
Nobody's gone in there. There's no fucking Lululemon there.
Yeah.
There's no fucking Zara there. So that says something. It's like these people don't get fucked with. That's always interesting to me. Downtown, they don't give a shit. This was a tenement building. Yeah. Goodbye. Throwing old people out of windows.
Yeah.
You're done. Some poor old Jews like, but I've been, get out.
I'm the opposite. I think I would always tell somebody to go downtown. I think the East Village.
It's
good food, good drinks. There's just a lot of like cool architecture. There's like, if you want to just walk around and see cool street art, there's a lot of that.
I think East Village is more he's still going the way of, I mean, it's just these gross buildings that nobody gives a shit about.
But I think it's one of the final, one of the last.
In the 90s, I would have said East Village.
Punk
late
rocky
90s.
Type neighborhoods. There's still a feel there. You go down to, you know, even like the shit that's like down there, that like Two Boots Pizza is like a fucking chain.
Are you
but
serious?
It still looks kind of punk
serious?
Rock compared
are you
to fucking.
Serious?
Oh,
are you saying the fucking Two Boots
yeah.
Pizza? You would tell somebody who
the
came
CBGB's
out of town
a pizza
to go fucking eat a Two Boots
no,
pizza.
No, I would say look at it.
Animal?
I would say look at it.
Jesus Christ.
It looks punk rock, is what I'm saying.
It looks. Why? Because it has red tiles on the
yes,
outside?
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
That's it.
I'm so happy I'm white. I really am.
I would send them to go see all the cool murals that Wayne has in Little Italy.
Yeah.
With all that cool shit.
Yeah.
I would send them to, you know, the creek or, you know, the standing room.
All right. So, look, Halloween. Let's change topics here for a second. Halloween just happened. I took my kid up to the suburbs, which
nice.
You gotta go to the suburbs. Rockland County, where I grew up.
Beautiful.
Yeah, nice area. We took him 1 year trick-or-treating in the city. And I feel bad for city kids. Nobody here grew up in the city. Did you, Tim? No, you grew up in Long Island.
Long Island.
Yeah, so you know the suburbs, dude. We went 1 year in the city. We went fucking bodega to bodega, like
oh
to stores.
God.
Like once every like eight stores had candy.
So sick. The rest of them just gave you combs.
Cans of Monster.
Combs and guitar picks for no reason.
Yeah. It was terrible. But up in the suburbs, man, I don't know, it just brings me back. Yeah, that's
so nice. Listen, doesn't that, I want to live in the suburbs.
I love it.
Who the fuck wants to live in the city forever?
I really
do. Nightmare.
Am I crazy here? Because I told my son's mother.
Go up to Bobby's house, beautiful. I love that area.
I was like, if we go into a nuclear war, which there's a good chance we are. I don't really know, but I saw a headline. And
time for Guess the News. Sorry.
No, not yet. We're going to guess the news on something else in a little while. But I did see a headline that said we're going to maybe have a nuclear war with Putin and Russia,
yeah.
I believe. I believe that's the country he works for. And
that's the club he's best
if
at.
He, if that happens, I feel
the
like...
The ultimate roast battle, by the way.
I got to move to the suburbs. But then my son's mother was like, oh, it's not going to matter if they nuke New York City and we live in fucking Westchester... You know, at the very least, our drinking water is going to be all contaminated.
If New York City gets nuked, we have 50 years of darkness. I mean, it's bad. I mean, if they
but in the surrounding suburban areas, you don't think it's going to be cool?
I just mean the whole country is going to, because if you, New York
City... Yeah, no, I think you're going to die already.
New York City is a $1.3 trillion GDP. That all seven stock and futures exchanges, not all of them, but a lot of the big ones are here. The New York Fed is here. I mean, if you take out New York City, the whole telecom industry is fucking here. The whole, you know, a huge chunk of the tech industry is here. I mean, you're seeing big, you might want to just die in the fucking blast. You don't want to be living 3 years later. You're half a fish, you know, like, and you can't even get, I mean, it's if a nuclear weapon goes off in a major city in America, whether it's LA or New York or Chicago, it's going to be a big issue.
Yeah, but I'm talking about my son being exploded. That's really... I understand the fucking economy is going to fucking crumble. But here's the thing, right? I've always had this theory in life. You play your cards, okay?
Yeah, you're hunting fish.
Yeah, I'm going to do what I do.
You'll have a podcast network up.
I definitely
you will.
100%
you
will. I promise you, yeah. after our nuclear holocaust...
Yeah.
Gas Digital will survive.
Yes, it will.
It's going to be us and the cockroaches.
You won't call it Gas Digital because people would think you have gas and come and kill you. You're like, they got gas. You're like, no, I'm sorry. This was a mistake. Don't call it that, but...
It's Canned Tuna Digital. Non-Perishables Incorporated.
Yeah.
Boxed water.
Right. Yeah. Boxed water.
But, no, where...
It's just a nicer place to live.
How far am I going to have to move out of the city so my son doesn't get exploded?
I mean, it's miles and miles and miles. Long.
Did the suburban areas of Hiroshima, were they affected by what we did to them?
Some of them were.
When we fucked
if
their
you go
shit
five,
up.
If you go 5 miles out, 5 to 10 miles out from the initial blast, you could still see some shit.
And also, they were saying the technology in atomic bombs, we've gone pretty far.
Way bigger.
I mean, Russia debuted that new missile. They call it, it's like the Satan 2, and it's the size of it can destroy Texas.
No.
Yeah. They just Google that. Google
it's not
Russia
called the
new
Satan
missile.
2.
Google Russia new missile.
Yeah.
Russia has a new missile that they just debuted that could fuck up Texas. It could destroy Texas.
Are they the good guys?
Who?
Russia?
No.
There are
no good guys.
They're not.
It's Game of Thrones. There's
okay.
no good guys.
Okay.
There's just competing interests. If you lived in Moscow, they would be the good guys. I mean, are we the good guys if you're sitting in a fucking wedding in Pakistan and all of a sudden it's like, is that a... And then we're not the good guys either. It's just... We're lucky enough to be fucking born in a country where I could go get a cheeseburger for a dollar. Because
look, here's the truth, right? My instinct with anything, with movies, with when I watch fights, pro wrestling, I'm always rooting for the underdog, right? So in a weird way, I'm kind of rooting for Russia.
They're not the underdog, though.
They're not the underdog.
No.
They are, dude. They're fucking famished.
No, the underdog is some guy running around in Africa without shoes. Sub-Saharan Africa.
They can't win. You remember when Adrian said that to Rocky? That's what I say to Africa.
They're not even
you
a
can't
dog.
Win.
Yeah, okay.
Just fucking tap out, Africa.
There it is. There's the new guy. Look at that guy.
Pull it up on the big screen, Shannon.
Look at this bug guy. This is a good one.
I
want to
see this. Holy shit.
It's the new intercontinental ballistic missile SARMAT. I don't know what that. I think that means.
That is the intercontinental champion of missiles.
That is the big boy.
That's the ultimate warrior of missiles.
Look at that. That's dude. They're new.
Can you please play the ultimate warrior theme while we talk about this missile?
Several nuclear warheads in that missile, and I mean that if that touches down, it's just goodbye.
Yeah.
That could take out Texas.
It looks like a dildo that Hillary would use.
It is a dildo. God.
They named it Satan 2.
They
Satan
did name
two,
it Satan
I told
2.
You,
no,
yeah.
Why would they name it Satan 2?
Because Satan 1 wasn't big enough.
How much do you kind of want to see what Satan 2 can do?
They test these things like underground, which is probably not smart, and sometimes they test them in space.
Yeah, I mean, testing it underground.
Some poor aliens like driving around like, what the fuck?
They're not worried about possibly what that could do.
Or the aliens, it's like a little firework.
Yeah, that's so cute, yeah.
If you pull up the opening scene to Ice Age 4, okay, you will see what the little squirrel did to cause...
The Ice Age.
Yeah. I mean, he literally it was a fucking nut that fell down a crack... Hit the core of the earth, sort of running around
Does
the core.
Does your son ask you questions about stuff? Will he?
No,
be like,
no, I just show him. I show him that documentary, Ice Age 4.
That's exactly who's gonna explain to Lewis that Ice Age 4 is not a documentary.
Daddy, it's not real.
Is this the beginning of Ice Age 4?
Oh, that's a great quality you got.
It's okay. I still want him to see it. Here we go, right here. This is give us a little bit of volume too. Now look at this. This is beautifully shot.
This is.
Do you know how much money this shot costs?
CGI.
No, that's real life, Tim.
Yeah, I know. I apologize.
So, yeah, I'll be honest with you. Kids' movies, when you have to watch them, yeah, this little fucker right here causes the Ice Age. Look. Right here. This one. Now you're going to tell me if you put a nuclear bomb in the ground that it's not going to cause some
these
sort
people,
of craziness.
These people don't really care.
Yeah, they didn't watch it. We should send Putin Ice Age 4.
You'd think bombing them on the surface would also cause problems.
Look at this. Look at this right here. He falls to the center of the earth. Goodbye, dinosaurs. He's trying to stop himself. His hands start burning up.
He would be dead already. His respiratory system couldn't handle that type of...
Tim, come on. You're not a fucking scientist.
I'm saying.
You don't know.
No,
look at this. What happens? He starts running on the core of the earth. You thought I made this up?
No.
You thought this was a figment of my imagination. Look, and look what happens right here.
He just wants a nut. Squirrel just wants a nut.
Yeah. Which is an analogy for every man in life.
Sure. Pangea.
So, this is it, right here. This is the beginning of the earth. Here's how America's made. Africa right there. Last place Africa. This is how the drafts were made. It's a cute movie. All right, Shannon, thank you.
Does Baby James like it?
He loves it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he loves it. But here's my problem with my kid. He...
You're not allowed to see him?
No. I see him too much, honestly. When he likes a movie... He
wants to watch it over and over.
Come on.
Yeah.
You can't convince him otherwise.
But I kind of do that. I like to watch a film.
Really?
Yeah. If I like something, I'll
no way.
But Clifford is one of my favorite movies with Martin Short. I do Clifford once, twice a year.
I've seen...
Love Clifford.
It depends. Really almost never will I choose to watch a movie for a second time unless I'm watching it with somebody who hasn't seen it and I fucking love the movie. But even then, it's really about me. Okay? Yeah. Even then. Tim, did you just pick your ear and smell it?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure we're on the same page.
Yeah.
So we did Halloween in the suburbs.
Shows you how much wax you have.
Yeah. Oh, smelling it?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you do anything for Halloween, Tim? Because in the gay community, the homosexual, this is like fucking.
I mean, it can be if you drink. I was on a TV, I did a TV thing, and then I did a show, like a TV show.
You don't drink.
I don't drink, so I just did a show in the East Village, bar show.
Are you like sober?
Yeah, I don't do anything. I mean, I was a drug addict.
Okay, because people talk about being an addict, and I think sometimes there's the people that go, oh, yeah, dude.
I was just doing blow at 13, first line of blow.
Yeah.
So it was like no good. 13 drugs through 25.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you're only like 29 now.
I'm 30 now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're pretty much newly sober. So you're right. I guess on Halloween, because we're doing a guest digital party, which, by the way, just real quick, I want to make an announcement. Guys, I'd like to officially welcome a brand new show to the network. Bruce Buffer, who is the veteran voice of the Octagon for the UFC, the announcer, has a great show called It's Time, and he's been doing it for years, and he's got his own fucking massive following through the UFC. And Ralph knew him through a couple mutual friends. They've linked up a few times, and he's officially part of the network. So, guys, go subscribe on iTunes, if you're listening to this on iTunes, obviously, to Bruce Buffer's It's Time. It's a brand new show. He interviews UFC fighters, actors, musicians, just random celebrities, entrepreneurs. I listened to one episode where he brings in different entrepreneurs, like different episodes. He does like entrepreneur specials, and I fucking love that. So really cool show, very unique, and Bruce is a fucking pro, and I interviewed him recently, and he's great. So go listen to his show. But we're doing a party for the holiday. Me and Ralph are going back and forth on whether or not we want to do like a dinner, like, you know, for the entire network, or if we want to do like an open bar style party.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously I don't drink, so I'm just like, who gives a fuck about that?
Yeah.
But I think we're gonna end up doing the party.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, I mean, like, you gotta step back and go, like, look, this is what most other people want to do. 100%.
Just
because I want to fucking shove pasta into my face.
No, you know? Do the party.
Yeah, the party will be a good time. Like an apple juice party to like appease four people that can't hang anymore.
Right, exactly.
It's fucking bummer, dude.
I don't know if I want to be trapped at a table with the rest of guests. You know what I mean?
That is true as
well. That's the other thing. It's like,
well, Ralph goes to me. He texts me. He's like, all right,
can there be a smaller table for Hate Speech Radio?
Yes. It's high society radio.
That's
right. Ralph texts me today. He's like, so what are we going to do? We do the party or the dinner? And I was like, I think we should do a party. He's like, great, dude. He's like, well, I'm going to get Andrew WK to come play. And I'm like, what? He's like, we'll get a few porn stars. And I'm like, Ralph, what is wrong with you?
Get a couple of bottles of liquor and some fucking hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah, we're going to fuck
it. A couple of pigs in a blanket.
I think we're going to do it at a bar. And it's going to be open to Gas Digital subscribers as well. It's going to be limited. But we're going to do some cool shit for the new year.
Excuse me. God damn it. Dude, what is wrong with me?
I'm having like a gassy thing.
That could be a whole nother episode.
Yeah. Shannon, I really quickly want to guess the news.
It's time for another edition of Guess the News.
I have to know more information. I should have read just this headline. From the headlines that I've read, this man is innocent. He is the victim.
Man, these guys don't know shit.
All right, it is the World Series, ladies and gentlemen. That is baseball. For those people that don't know, I don't know. I don't know. All I do know is that it is the Chicago Cubs versus the Cleveland Indians.
Oh, Jesus.
Neither of those teams have been to the World Series in a very long time. A couple of losers, as they say. And I know last night was game 6, and it could go to game 7 tonight. The only reason I know that is because my son's mother works in the service industry, and she told me she might be late. So I believe it's going to game 7 tonight. They did not win. Right, Tim?
Right.
Okay. Do you know about baseball?
Not a ton. I know people are very involved with it.
Yeah, because you grew up like a man. You grew up with a dad.
I know about it. They're not teams I give a shit about. Like, all the Chicago comedians are big into it and everything. Yeah. I don't, it's like not a thing.
Drew Michael's excited.
All those guys.
Yeah. If you guys don't know this, and it's very hard to tell, Tim is a homosexual. Okay. And,
unfounded. Those are rumors that are unfounded.
I guess when you say homosexual that way, it does sound like there's a little hate.
I will go back into the closet if need to.
Especially when he's right across from you.
Yeah.
Depending on the opportunities I have, I may go back to the closet.
You guys can't see my face, but I'm...
Get a fat wife.
I'm sneering at him. He's a homosexual. It's not good. No, it's not bad. We don't care, but we're fine with that. We're equal opportunists here. Do what you want to do with your asshole and your dick, Tim. That's the way that I feel about this.
In that order. First of all, now that you've said that, I feel better. I feel better because I my father always said to me, he goes, son, it's not what I think. It's what Puerto Ricans think.
It's true. Shannon, I'm going to need another coffee. This is going to be a very intense conversation right now.
Shannon, can I have a bottle of water and some real fucking cupcakes? Thank you.
Yeah, Shannon, can you, all, you go start a batch of actual cupcakes? You grimy, lazy Italian. So here's the thing, Lee. You were raised like more of a man than me. Because you grew up with a dad, even though you did theater as
a
child.
Theater, but
that's okay.
I
did theater.
Dad.
I did theater.
Great.
I did theater.
Okay.
Okay, so.
Where did you do?
It was higher risk theater because he had a dad to disappoint.
Yeah.
That is also true.
This is like, I did theater at PS, God only knows. What was the school?
No,
play?
First of all, I was in the fucking suburbs.
I forgot about that.
North
Sorry.
Rockland High School, and I was in Meet Me in St. Louis.
Ooh!
Yeah. Meet me at the fair.
You play a slave. Remember how
Grandpa.
Racist that is?
Grandpa.
There was so many, like, you go watch, like, Meet Me in St. Louis, you remember it as, like, a nice movie, and it's just horribly racist. It's just like black servants walking around.
Yeah,
like,
it was a weird,
these
weird
These southern
time.
Ladies being like, ooh! Oh, Lord! It's Negro! It's like, oh, my God.
Anything
rough.
Goes, I did. And that's funny too because it's the same thing. It's like there was like the chorus was like all passengers on the boat.
Yeah,
there's all these like black and Chinese people. It's like, are you crazy? Do you think?
Yeah. It's very
in
rough.
1922. There was blacks and Chinese people mingling with rich whites on a fucking cruise ship.
I know, it seems ridiculous even now. I grew up like a dude. I mean, I had a dad.
But there was a sign.
I grew up like a dude. There's a lot of male comedians that are more effeminate than I am. Where they like. They fuck chicks, but the way they talk.
Well, you're not a beta bitch.
But these guys, the way they talk, they're like some of them are my friends, and like if I don't talk to them in a week, they're like, this is what they say. They'll be like, I don't know, dude, I just feel like there's something like weird with you, something weird going on. But bro, shut the fuck. Like I never hung out with dudes who were like that. I always hung out with guys who were just like, who cares?
Fucking dudes.
Fuck yeah, dudes. Yeah. That's why I like Dan Soder. That's why I like you. I don't relate to like. I've had guys say to me like. You know, I feel like you're like putting a wall up. I'm like, should I suck your dick? Because for you to talk like that, that's gayer than
you
sucking
to be,
your dick.
You have to be a homosexual.
I have to be suck your dick because that would be the only reason.
Let me drill a hole in this wall real quick.
Yeah, it's like, it's ridiculous.
Were you the type of guy that you and your friends, when you were like in middle school, you would get into an argument and then it would just turn into you guys would go, all right, we're going to go fist fight out back in the parking lot or whatever it is, but you're buddies. And then you go back because you seem like the type of guy that
were in a few.
Seem like you've punched some people in the face.
Me and my friend, and I got punched in the face. Me and my men and women, by the way. I got punched by a chick in home ec because I was making fun of her gay brother, actually. And I said something to the extent of like,
if you don't have,
I said he's a snack pack, likes to get his booty whacked, and I was killing. I was killing. And she just came over and just nailed me in the face. Yeah. Nailed me.
Yeah.
But it's good. I think everyone should.
Do you
get
think that was
the
second that you turned gay?
Hit him so hard he turned gay.
Yeah. Hit the button. There was some sort of like cross fuse
and
wiring.
And the comedian, because it was like it was so like I even remember like even as I fucking had like a shiner, I was like. You know, it was such a big laugh.
Dude, that's
a huge
if
laugh.
You don't talk about that on stage, that is a missed opportunity. Talk
I
about
should,
you
yeah.
bullying a girl about her gay brother.
I got a joke
that's
out
so
of
funny,
Legion
dude.
Of Skanks, that AIDS joke where I'm
that's
like, I
great.
Wish I had AIDS. That's a new bit now.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah.
So
I love it.
But yeah, no, we were kids like I don't know if we were fist fighting, like we'd get in fist fights with each other every now and then, but like we were just like we were the last generation of kids who would even consider like that, like would get lost, just ride bikes around, steal cigarettes from our parents.
Yeah, yeah.
Who gives a shit?
It's
steal
crazy.
Money from our parents, take money.
When I was going trick-or-treating, when I was like, even when I was like 10. I mean,
throw eggs at each other, like all easily. That shit. That was what we were about. Like, there's all these fraternities in our town that you fucking like join and shit, like all these weird fucking things and like that.
Thanks, Shannon. Yeah, when we were kids,
get
I mean,
a bottle of water, sweetheart. Thank you.
We would go trick or treating. We wouldn't even start really till like 7:30. It was like dark out.
Yeah,
you
dude,
know?
It had to be fucking
and now,
dark.
Yeah, now it's like
yeah,
you,
dude,
people don't send their kids out in the dark
dude,
anymore.
Now some kids don't even. There's like a non-candy option.
I almost feel
like what? What are you giving?
To be honest with you, you know, you did that show about Who Killed Johnny, that documentary.
Yeah.
It's like
who took Johnny?
Yeah. Well,
he might not be dead, but whatever.
Come on. I'm not buying the fucking Hollywood M. Night Shyamalan ending that fucking his crazy mom tries to feed us.
Listen to the show. Don't ruin it. It's about finding the kid and rating, subscribing.
Dude, you should just do a bonus episode where you interview Johnny Gosch, but you just get some fucking...
Well, Johnny
get like Mateo Lane to come in.
May be calling in for our election special,
so don't ruin anything that is in the works. But it really was a better time. I feel like my mom didn't even care. But it was just you didn't have to care about your kids in the 80s and 90s.
Well, I just think it was like I don't think you have to care about them now. Like I just remember like our lives where our parents like we'd get home and our parents like would kick us out of the house. They'd be like, get the fuck out of that. Like I was an only child. They were like, go do something.
Yeah.
And you'd go out and you'd make a friend or you'd be a weirdo who'd ride around on your bike until you made a friend.
Yeah.
And now we don't tell kids that. Now people are like, not just stay home and go on social media and whatever. And it's like all the skills like of having to make a friend, of having to be, we don't even fucking.
It's weird. There's a great show that I just started watching called Black Mirror.
Great. It's
fucking excellent. I have only, Tinkle, have you seen this?
Yes.
Right up your alley. Yeah. Right up your alley.
It's perfect.
I only seen two episodes, first and second episode of the third season. Right. But the first episode of the third season, it's you know, with the girl with giving like the upvotes and like the social.
How good is that?
Dude. I mean, I was watching this going like, whoever fucking wrote this.
It's great.
Just goddamn
and
good.
And I love the second one. The
second one's great too. The video games. He goes to the mansion.
The third one.
The mansion.
Oh, the third one. More about the third one. All right, go on.
All right. Anyway.
Is that with the girls, the third one?
Third one is the internet people who get stuff on you and then bribe you to do things.
Yes.
It's crazy.
And that had a great twist in it.
Great.
So Black Mirror, it's kind of like it's almost like Tales from the Crypt where each episode is encapsulated in itself. It's one
and
story.
It's all about, it's commenting on this internet vigilante culture where it's like these aren't good people, they're morally corrupt people, but we're still doing these horrible things to them.
Yeah.
And it's crazy, like even in the third episode, you'll see these are deeply flawed people, but you still, they're painted in this sympathetic light because we're doing these like horrible things to them where you're like, wait a minute. Like even though in the third episode, these are like the worst of the worst, we're still putting them through things where it's like, and it's a comment on internet culture of like this mob mentality just going after somebody for whatever reason who may well have made a mistake or said or done something that we consider to be stupid. But the way we kind of go after them with the fervor and the way we want to ruin their life, and we're not happy now. It's not enough for me to just go, I'm not going to buy tickets to Schumer. People want to ruin. People want to go, she can't exist.
Oh, it's crazy.
So there's something sick.
It's crazy. I don't even want that level of fame. I want to make $500,000 a year.
Don't
and
worry.
Be barely.
I'll just say this right now. Rest easy.
Yeah. You cocksucker.
You're cruising.
I bet you he would have comped Schumer to his fucking bus show. He would have given her a fucking row. He would have been like, Schumer.
She would have needed it.
She would have. She's doing it.
Schumer and her fucking catering section.
She's speaking at a Baptist church in Harlem that night. She's doing a vigil.
I thought that the first episode was such a great commentary on how obsessed we are with the likes and the just like ourselves. And in the episode, basically what they do is on their phones, you can rate people. And there was a company that it was a startup. They were trying to do this where literally it was like the same way you would, you know, what do they call it for restaurants? Yelp. It was Yelp for human beings. So you would Yelp people and write them reviews, and like people would have their own like profiles. Whereas like Tim Dillon, like the same way in this episode, people had a number rating, and you know, she's just so obsessed with getting her number rating up, and people would judge you based off of how high your number rating was. And I'm literally watching this going like, holy shit,
well, like,
dude,
we are judged, though.
3 years away from that episode.
100%.
Yeah. Well, it's not only judged though. It's almost like a credit score. So like, you can't even get stuff if you're not up.
It's
on a
all interconnected, and that's what's happening now. You watch it with Facebook. Really, kind of did it. I know Facebook's like for old people now, but if you look at the way that they connected everything, everything from the way you're shopping online,
Facebook's
to the movies
not
you
even
like,
for old people because young people coming back on. It's fascinating. Yeah. Facebook is the most enduring.
That's
social
a fucking
network.
Monster.
Dude, Facebook is like a public utility. It's not going anywhere. Vine just fucking shut the fuck down.
I think it's hilarious.
I think Twitter is next.
Yeah.
I think it's because 90% of the content on Twitter is made by 10% of the people. It's the most unsustainable thing. It's not growing its user base. Its profitability is. I think that's going to be.
You live on Facebook. Facebook is
your life.
There's is you go to work.
Because it's the most
you
real
go to school,
one.
You go to you go home.
It's the most real
Facebook you're always there. You're on you're working out at the gym, you're on fucking Facebook.
Twitter, you can be an avatar, Snapchat, all these other things you can kind of really disguise who you are. Facebook, you really kind of have to be some version of you.
Yeah.
It's weird. You know, Twitter, you could be like Bobby said the other day, and it made sense on a show, you could be an egg.
Yeah.
Be a fucking egg. I'm XXY. Well,
Bobby is also shaped like an egg.
he's an egg calling an egg. But that's the thing. Facebook, it's like, oh, there's pictures. This guy's got a face. You can tell if somebody's fake on Facebook.
Of course.
Immediately.
Yeah. And look, I'm very impressed with Facebook as a company. I'm going to start doing more fucking research on the guy who created that company. I bet you he's an interesting dude.
CIA but, asset.
What's his name?
I'm just kidding. I don't know.
No, what's his name, though? The guy that,
Mark Zuckerberg?
Mark Zuckerberg. Oh, yeah. I saw the Facebook movie.
That guy gets co-opted at very high levels.
What do you mean?
All of those tech guys are basically brought in, and this is all conjecture. I have no proof of this. But they're kind of brought into these kind of high-level government meetings where they go, hey, you know all the stuff you have on everybody? You want to sell them stuff. We also need stuff.
Yeah.
So let's work together.
Oh, yeah.
Google, all of that.
Dude, listen to me, okay? Any of these companies that it's their job to collect data and predict
data
these
mining,
fucking things.
Absolutely.
Dude, I'm telling you right now, the government... there's secret fucking things that we don't know about, laws that are in place where the government has access to all this shit.
Absolutely.
We were so afraid of Big Brother for so long.
Yeah.
And now we are giving everybody everything.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, literally, checking in is crazy. The fact that people check in at places,
yeah.
I'm like, are you nuts?
Yeah.
If somebody wants to fuck your throat, they can now find you.
And there's another app for that.
Yes, right. There is.
Throat fucker. Throater. It'll be like the new...
So yeah, dude, it's
somebody just got killed on Grindr. Two gay dudes met up. One was a Satanist. One guy just fucking killed him and dissolved his body in a bathtub of
Shannon,
in a vat of acid.
Real ass dude of the week.
Yeah, let's be honest.
He's a real ass dude. He's got a bad attitude. One might feel he's real. He's a real ass dude.
Real ass dude of the week, the gentleman who
met a guy on Grindr, lured a guy over, Satanist, chopped him up into little bits, and then dissolved him in a tub of acid. He got the idea from, I think...
Breaking Bad.
Yes, correct. Got the idea from Breaking Bad.
Wow.
Usually to kill people on Grindr, it takes a long time, and then your family says it was pneumonia.
Did you automatically go into a southern accent when you said kill people on Grindr?
I think I might have.
That was just like an automatic response. It's like, when I kill people on Grindr.
On Grindr.
Grindr. This is the guy. So which one is the... Put up on the big screen, Shannon.
I think the right is the guy who killed... it's the left is the guy who got killed. The younger guy is the guy who killed him.
Yeah. Breaking Bad fanatic.
Killed police officer and dissolved his body in a bath of acid after Grindr sex day courtiers.
Now, how do they find his body?
Which is, by the way, everyone's talking about how to get cops to stop shooting people. Well...
Yeah. Just send that story to every cop's household.
That's a great protest.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, if black people could only get creative enough.
Do you use Grindr?
Yeah. Or get a job to afford cable to watch Breaking Bad, they'd get some cool ideas. See, black people, you got to just get out there off the streets, watch a little Breaking Bad.
It's so weird that you, because I've used Grindr, and it's weird that you think about, like, oh, that's just so easy to do. Like, you could just walk in a house and somebody club you to death. Like, it's not even a...
Yeah.
It's so
Isn't
easy.
That how Dahmer killed him, his victims? He's like, he would go find young gay black kids and fucking...
Is that true?
Yeah, and then he would
bring them home from gay bars, yeah.
Oh, dude, if he was around when, like, Grindr was on, his numbers would be up in the hundreds.
We have far fewer serial killers right now. And I don't know why. I did talk to a guy who was an FBI agent, and I said, it was so funny the way he said it. I'm like, he goes, there are people out there doing great work, but we're just not, but it just doesn't seem to be. He goes, we don't have any like celebrity serial killers now.
Yeah, we never caught the long, the guy.
We never caught the hookers because he's killing hookers, but like he said, the guy goes, you get to four or five people now, you get caught. Nobody's that good.
That's exactly it. You're going to get caught. Yeah. So the people that are, we probably do have them. But they're probably so good that you can't connect the murders. So there's probably some dude out there that has 40 fucking bodies underneath his belt.
Can you imagine?
But also, they kill hookers. If they kill gay dudes, it's not really going to be a big story.
No.
Like, they never caught the doodler. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, who is that?
There was a guy that killed gay dudes at clubs, and he would draw them. and then go, oh, come back to my house. I want to draw your portrait.
Yeah.
And
kill him. They were calling the doodler because he killed dudes.
Yeah. It's like the Riddler. Yeah. The doodler.
That's a
bad guy in a comic.
I just put my headphones down and run out. I'm like, I've been found out.
A fucking gay supervillain.
A notepad and a pen falls out of your back pocket.
The Black Doodler is an unidentified serial killer believed responsible for 14 slayings and 3 assaults of men in the gay community. I love 3 assaults. Like, he was tired that night.
Yeah.
He's like, or they fought back.
Between January 1974 and September 1975, the nickname
he
was given.
Sketch the victims out prior to there. So he'd basically be like, get naked. I'll drill you. And then he would kill him.
Yeah, he would pull a Titanic.
Yeah.
Wow.
That would have been a way better scene in that movie. If he just fucking stabbed fat Rose McGowan to death. By Hollywood standards, she's fucking fat.
Rose McGowan?
Rose McGowan?
Yeah.
You're not thinking of the right person.
Rose, whatever her name. Her name was Rose in the movie.
It was Rose, yes.
Kate Winslet.
Kate Winslet. That's what I meant. And she's also fat.
She's not fat. She's
Shut
just
up.
Curvy.
Shut up, Tinkle. You know. Let's get some questions. Great show today so far, boys.
Give me a fucking answer. Give me a fucking answer.
We never did the plugs, but it's okay. We'll get them out now. Tim, anything to plug?
November 19th, I'm at a place called the Infield in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. November 9th, I'm at the Shaskeen Pub in Manchester, New Hampshire. November 30th, Vermont Comedy Club in Burlington, Vermont.
Great.
Tim Dillon's Going to Hell podcast on Gas Digital.
Chris Tinkle.
Hammer Fisting. We're going live tonight, and we have some really good guests coming up in the next few weeks. We have a good in-studio guest next week.
Oh, cool. Who's coming in?
I'm not going to talk about it, or else I would have said the name.
All right. Zach Amico, Roast Battle Champion, Roast Master Champion.
Twitter and Instagram, Zach is not funny. Snapchat me, your cat, Zach Amico. And, yeah, that's what I got this week.
Yeah, guys, GomezComedy.com, Gomez Comedy on Instagram. December, Providence, Rhode Island, Comedy Connection, got a weekend. Long Island, December 16th, headlining a gig at some place. Gotta start giving you guys all the info on this stuff. Then there's some other place in November somewhere. Check out Legion of Skanks tonight, obviously. And also, check out the Countdown, SiriusXM, Rush 93.
Where's Legion? Is it a New York Comedy Festival thing?
New York Comedy Festival tonight with Where? Robert Kelly up in the main room at the Creek.
Nice.
Yeah, we're having stand-up. Rob Mayu, Chris Scopo, and Justin Silver are doing stand-up to open up the show. And then we're doing a talent show.
Well.
We're doing a talent show. Yeah, they're killing it.
Well.
First, we're going to have Scopo and Silver do stand-up. Then we're going to have a talent show.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, guys. They're great. All right. So, and also, guys, go to iTunes right now and give us a positive review, 5-star ranking, all that good stuff. Tell your friends about the Realize podcast. We've grown tremendously, guys. This show has been really killing it lately. So I want to appreciate everyone who's been fucking showing us love. Let's get some questions out there. Daniel Capo wants to know for Tim Dillon, would you fuck Ari Shaffir's blown out asshole?
If it helped my career, sure.
Have you seen Ari's asshole?
Not yet.
It is a nightmare.
Why?
He had like major inner and outer hemorrhoids that have been like just really like literally it's like loose meat, like huge pussy lips hanging out of his asshole. So first of all, is Ari attractive to you? If you had a normal asshole.
I mean, he's kind of a skinny guy. I mean, I don't know if that would be my thing.
But you do it for the story.
I would do it for Twitter followers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go. Sean Kill Cullen. Great question here. Am I a real ass dude or a bad parent? If at a sporting event I smacked another grown man for calling my 11-year-old son a pussy.
I mean, that's kind of reasonable. I mean, in what context was your 11-year-old son being a pussy?
Yeah.
What was your 11-year-old son doing?
Getting double-teamed by 2 dudes.
I mean, I don't know. But it's also, I guess you weren't a... It's not, you're not a great parent. I don't know. You're the dad.
I know. Well, Tinkle, what do you think? I'll give my opinion.
Like,
last
what
year.
Were you doing that like allowed it to get that far? Where some strangers called your kid a pussy?
There's so much left out of that. You know.
Well, let's say here's what I imagined initially. This is a sporting event. I imagine it's his kid's sporting event, as in like his kids like playing baseball.
Oh yeah.
And something happened between the kids, and the dad called the other kid a pussy. That's the way I had envisioned it.
Okay.
Yeah, I can see that happening.
A real ass dude would have punched him, not slapped him.
Yeah, a real ass dude would have punched the other guy's kid. Be like, oh yeah, we'll see who's a pussy. Just fucking wail him in the face.
You gonna have James play any game? I mean, any sports?
I'm not really interested in sports, so I can't imagine encouraging
him. It's not about you. It's about your son.
We'll have a podcast.
Yeah, 100%.
At 6.
Well, he knows what podcasting is. He sings all the intros to the podcast.
Does he
listen
really?
To them? Yeah,
he's on mine. He was on mine.
Yeah. He was. He did the intro. I mean, look, yeah, obviously, like, I throw the football around with him. We play basketball. We have a little basketball hoop. I'm not really into other sports, so it's really hard to get somebody I can't project a passion onto him if I'm not passionate. What me and Dave do with him now is we MMA fight with him. We teach him our own, like, little fucking moves and shit. So we wrestle with him, like, do takedowns. We have him push off the head, get up. Ground and pound, punch him. He knows how to do a rear naked choke. We're doing these, like...
That's important. That's important that the kid knows how to do a rear naked choke.
He knows one move in MMA. That's going to, yeah.
That's an important.
Well, here's the thing.
Lines up perfectly.
We're giving him foundations. He boxes. He knows his combos. He knows how to block. He knows how to duck. He has a foundation. I didn't know how to throw a punch until I took my first boxing class when I was an adult.
Yeah.
Nobody ever taught me which knuckles to punch
how to rotate your hip. It's like you're, and I totally agree with what you're doing. But you are preparing him for a world that doesn't even exist anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I know that people still fight.
It's not bullying.
I don't mean it's bullying. I said it's a world that doesn't exist. Like,
what do you mean?
It's just this weird fucking, who's throwing punches? Like, I'm sure it's still happening, but I do feel like it's such a different world now where it's like, it's throwing some other lessons too. How to insult people creatively.
Yeah.
How to shame them.
Of course.
I'm coming in for that next week.
Yeah, roasting, yeah. Have Zach come in.
Well, you know, here's the thing, right? I know that bullying is like we're in like an anti-bullying culture and it doesn't happen as much. It's not so much. Every man has had the moment where he got bitched out by another dude.
Right.
And he replayed it in his head for the next 10 years.
Absolutely.
Everyone, you got that moment where like you were embarrassed in front of some chick you fucking liked or some dude was ready to fight you and you talked shit and then you weren't really ready to fight.
Right.
You looked like a chump and you kind of have that thing. You know, it's a fucking battle with manhood that I think every man has, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't want my kid to ever really have to question that.
Yeah.
When you know how to fight, and I've talked to plenty of fighters, I interview fighters professionally.
Yeah.
When you know how to fight, you don't have a need to prove your manhood or you
Absolutely.
Don't have a need to prove that you know how to fight.
No, I think that's great. And I think it's good to just know how to take care of yourself.
That's it. You know, if there's ever some shit goes down, he's in a better 100%. Position, a much better. And look, I always was able to take care of myself. My kid.
That's why rich people, I'm so interested in these uber wealthy people. They learn how to fight in like a different way, but one of the reasons that those people just are rich for centuries is because they tell people, they're like, yes, somebody fucked with us. Their family's done.
Yeah.
Like, we ended their family.
Yeah.
Like, they're over. They're done. Like, that's why those people have money, because they get in fights, essentially.
Yeah.
And they're able to then turn around. They have the money to then
You know how, and you've done sales, Tim, so you get this. Me and you should just do a whole show on sales.
I would love to talk about sales strategy.
Phenomenal. We'll do your show. We'll do a Tim Dillon is going to hell. We'll do a sales episode.
I would not on my show, but I would love to. I would love to. No,
it's
I'm kidding.
Same
I would
thing.
Love to,
yeah. Certain people, when they... The reason that people can't sell, right? And you get these people sometimes that are good looking, personable. They're super engaging, and you like, dude, this guy's gonna be a monster, right?
Right. Yeah.
They, when it comes time to ask for the money,
they can't.
They freeze up and they can't do it. They beat around the bush. They can't do it. When they hear the word no, they turn the other way. They go boom. And I think there's a weird thing where there's certain people that are just willing to throw a punch.
Yeah.
Or it's not that they
No, absolutely.
They will, like, if their back's against the wall. There's certain people that are just willing to go like, I'm gonna fuck it. I watched Giannis Papas do that. There's certain people, like, I'm not, like...
He fucked that girl up.
People think that I'm... He was dressed as Marisa, though, so it wasn't a big deal. No, people think that I'm tough, but I'm actually the kind of guy that questions myself. When I go to, like, I don't just throw a punch in somebody's fucking face when they talk shit. I watch Giannis lay a dude out that just came at him, and it wasn't Giannis wasn't there was
gonna
stage,
be, right?
Yeah, he jumped. Yeah. Superman punched off the stage. There was no talking shit back and forth, which you watch most people do. They talk shit because they're trying to look for the way out of the fight.
Right.
They're looking for the way out. If you got, if you see two guys talking shit and jawing each
avoid
other,
good salespeople never avoid conflict.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
That's it. They say, why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Why don't you want to do this?
Fight with me.
Why not?
Because here's what bad salespeople all have in common. They all believe that if they just avoid conflict, some sale or something
is
going
to come to their lap.
It's going to happen by accident.
Yep.
And good salespeople know there's only one way out of this room, and it's through this fucker.
You gotta take the rejection, agree with it. Yeah, yeah, of course.
Get
but let me tell you why
rebuttals,
it still works.
Rejections out, and then you have to sell them. And there's
you
only one way to
rejection.
Win. There's only one way to win. Bad salespeople go, maybe I'll just win by being in a room.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
You got to fucking embrace the rejection. You have to go through. You have to fight through the rejection. And those are the same. The people who can fucking really fight, they go, oh, yeah, let's fight. Boom. And they lay it on them.
And here's the other thing is people who really can know how to fight have lost.
Yeah, 100%.
That's the
but
sales
you're not afraid
too.
Of being punched in the face. It's with salespeople, too.
Yeah.
You're not afraid of the no. You understand, if you're a salesperson, right, it's all a game of numbers. You hear this in sales a lot. Every no gets you closer to a yes.
Yeah.
All that means is that if you ask every person in the world, buy this, yes or no, it's a predetermined ratio in the world. So literally, every time you get a no, you go, all right, cool, I'm actually closer to getting to that yes.
Absolutely.
It's a fight mentality. They don't give a fuck. You can get beat up. You got to get beat up a couple times in order to learn how to win a fight.
Yeah,
simple as that.
That's it.
A couple more questions because we do have to get out of here in just a couple minutes. Keith Caramalo wants to know, what age do you think you'll live to and how will you die? Zach and Miko, we're going to go in order of...
When we're gonna die. 55, dead on the toilet.
Yeah. I agree.
Me?
Tim, yeah, you're gonna die next.
60-ish stroke.
It's likely.
Something stressful. I mean, comedy kills people early. I don't know. Maybe earlier than that. If this is my career for a while,
yeah.
Comedy. I don't think it has anything to do with
your
health.
The problem with being unhealthy and getting success is that it's not even
physical health. I really believe that this is just a thing. Like when you are doing comedy and you're doing stand up or whatever, you kind of are weirdly inhabiting like the God particle. It's like tapping into this energy source that like most people never get to. But I feel like it's like having the ring in Lord of the Rings. I think it does drain you.
Yeah,
because a lot of guys just check out, and I mean thin guys. Fat guys, everyone all over the map,
fans get mad because we call them civilians.
You're right.
And I don't think people get what it means. Comics, we suck our own dicks and we pat ourselves on the back a lot. And I don't think we like to romanticize this industry and this career choice, right? But I don't think people realize in order to do this, even if it's an easy path for you, it's a fucking lot. It's a lot. You have to have...
You're chasing your whole fucking
life. We're talking about sales. You need to have this blind faith that somebody's going to like some fucking stupid thought that you had and pay you money for being funny. And in order to take that chance, in order to really fucking do that, it takes a certain type of crazy. You know, and I don't know if it's good or fucking bad. I would never wish this career on my kid or a friend of mine. I've had people be like, oh, I want to do it. And I take them aside and I fucking say, I look them in the face and I go, no, you don't want to fucking do this, okay? It's like you don't want to put yourself through this fucking career unless you absolutely need to. And by the time you realize that you need to, you're like, holy shit, dude, I'm fucking in this for 10 years. I have no other friends. It's all I fucking know in my life. You know, all right. Last question.
Wait, Tinkle and Lewis, when are you dying?
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's right. I thought we were going to live forever.
Yeah, I thought we were just going to skip that part. Probably late 50s, some kind of heart thing or asthma thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to think that I'm going to get back in shape and fucking, you know, live a long, healthy life.
You know what the shitty thing is? It's fucking all like a genetics and weird, like, I mean, you could certainly do things to help that or hurt that. But I mean, like, there are people that are just so healthy that just die.
Yeah, that's true as well.
You know what I mean? Like, really healthy people.
It's just, but it's,
just,
look, here,
it's just like.
It's also, typically, if you are exercising and eating healthy, typically, you're going to live substantially longer.
That doesn't have.
It does. If you look at the numbers,
I'll send you the numbers. A lot of it is hereditary and genetics. A lot of it, cancers all the things that end up
killing
you.
I think cancer, I think a big part of it is what we're putting in our body and how much you're building the machine to fight off these things.
Yeah, but if you look at the quality of life, I agree. If you're healthier, you have a better quality of life. As far as, if you're, listen, you're doing heroin or if you're 400 pounds, okay, fine. But I mean, the difference between a guy who's 50 or 70 pounds overweight I think there are differences, but I know there's a lot of healthy people that just drop fucking dead.
I'm telling you, if you actually look at the real numbers, and I worked in the health industry for a long time.
Doing what?
Doing sales, but at the highest.
In where?
Equinox, the highest fucking level.
Did you just say,
yes,
I worked in the health industry, and you equated selling gym packages at Equinox to working in the health industry.
Yes.
And the quotes that you're now throwing out are from some fucking guy who bought HGH in a parking lot.
No, that's not true. If you look into Equinox, and first of all, they're a fucking brilliant company.
I have been to a GNC.
Yeah, here we go. Here comes the Herbalife.
No, but I'm being honest with you. It's an amazing company. Okay, I worked there for 2 years. I made a lot of fucking money. And one of the reasons that they're such a great company was because they had ongoing continuous education for every department, for other departments. So every department understood what the other department's functions were. And I went to a training course for 6 weeks specifically on exercise science, the way the muscular development, fat loss, healthy eating, lifestyle, four lifestyles. We learned a fucking ton about this.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, and they literally said,
I'm sure it does contribute.
They said in this course, I mean, this isn't just a fucking sales thing. They go like, oh, yeah, you're not really supposed to talk to the people you're trying to sell memberships to about how important diet is and how it's like the absolute most important component, because that doesn't have anything to do with selling them a fucking gym membership. You know what I'm saying?
But it is the most important
component. By far.
I agree.
By far. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're an active person, you're living in New York City and you're eating pretty healthy, you're not going to be fucking fat.
What's the difference? 5 years in lifespan though? What's it, the guy who eats macaroni
10 to 15,
and cheese?
10 to 15, you're going to give. It depends on what you want. I got a kid. 10 years of my kid is a big deal. You know?
Talk to him about
that. You got
that.
Hillary. Talk 10 more years with Hillary.
Talk to your kid about that in a few years. He may disagree.
All right.
Bringing you balls of pork fat.
We're going to fucking get out of here. Great show today, boys.
Thanks for having me.
I really did. Tim, I obviously, dude, big fan of yours. Love having you on the show. You can hit that music, Shannon. Thank you for coming in. Check out Tim Dillon. Is Going to Hell. Go review them on iTunes and rate them as well. Tim, you got a great show. You and Ray Comp. Ray is also fucking hilarious.
He's out of his mind.
Such a fucking little weirdo. I think you guys have a great thing. So check that out, guys. Make sure you tell your friends about the Real Ass Podcast. Check out all the other shows as well. Bruce Buffer starting this month. Jamie Josta show. Also, I interviewed Jamie on my radio show. He's super fucking cool, so check out his show as well. And we'll check you next week. Real Ass Podcast. Peace.
That's all, folks.